Welcome back to the Wizards of Ecom podcast, your go-to for all things e-commerce and Amazon selling. I am your host, Naomi. Today, we have a returning guest on the show, Yoni Kosminski. Yoni is the founding partner of Southco and founder and CEO of both Multiply.me and Escala. Multiply.me specializing in affordable offshore staffing solutions and HR source outsourcing for e-commerce businesses, while Escala offering consulting services for e-commerce companies and Amazon sellers who want to scale their businesses. All three companies, all in all, they provide amazing and different solutions aimed at taking e-commerce and Amazon businesses to the next level. Yoni, thank you so much for being back on the show. Hi, how is it going?
It's great to be here. Thanks for the warm introduction, and it's just a pleasure to be chatting with you again.
Same here. So last time when you were on the show, you already know how this goes. I'm asking always the most hard questions, and I love to have guests on who are like taking the challenge always. Today's topic is going to be an interesting one. We just had the pleasure to catch up before officially hitting recording, and we were talking about what is going on within our lives, and I was mentioning about the agency that we're working on. And after going back and forth on different topics, we both thought that this could be a good way to have a topic for the podcast, and not only on the agency level, but also at how similar it is whenever you start something, either your brand selling on Amazon as an e-commerce seller, either an agency starting it as a consulting level. There are several steps from it's you who's a brand and the company, and until it's you not anymore who's the brand and the company, but you are the one who's working on it. So I think that's going to be a very relevant topic for our audience as well, and I'm just super stoked to have you here. Just pick your brain about the topic, growing both as a brand as an agency owner as well.
Yeah, I'm stoked to talk about that. And like we were discussing before, I cut my teeth growing up in agency land, experiencing what it was to go from a team of 10 to 50 in a relatively quick time, servicing the likes of Sony and MasterCard and Mercedes-Benz, even launching all of Mercedes-Benz social channels, being the largest media buyer for Mercedes-Benz Australia, New Zealand for a number of years there. So I love talking about this stuff, and I hope, like always, that as we have these conversations, people can take some nuggets. I'll say a lot of silly things, but some of the things that I can share might help people on their journey. So let's do it.
Bro, if you're saying a lot of silly things and you're on the second time on the podcast, those silly things are just golden nuggets. So I love to have you back on. All right, so starting right at the beginning, once that you're growing as a brand, maybe let's start on the e-commerce side. So you're starting your own brand. You're just finding out new ways how to really bring a new or more developed product on the market. You're starting as one person. You're thinking, okay, I made six figures during this year. I want to really expand. I am not able to do this anymore by myself. This is on the e-commerce side as a brand. And let's say on the agency side, you are doing just the same things. You are just getting more and more involved. You're getting more referrals, more clients, but you're still in the consultancy side. So taking those two pillars, the next pillar is going to be how to multiply yourself and how to look at the company as not anymore you are the company, but you are the one who's working on the company. Walk me through your process. How would you prioritize these stages? What would you do first? Which are the most important things that you see most people are missing just because they are so involved in doing it versus working on it?
So I'm actually going to take a bit of the conversation that we had before we hit record, listening to ScaleWave and where you're at in the journey. And I think one thing you said to me early on resonates, and if I was to give anyone advice, it would be exactly the way you're approaching it, and that is, it's all about your service delivery. You have to be obsessed with your clients. You have to be obsessed with their brands, and the same goes for yourself as an individual sole practitioner running your own business, running your own agency, or rather running your own brand and growing your own brand. If you can't get your service delivery right, if you cannot deliver at the highest possible level, and you're not obsessed with how do I buy media more effectively? How do I assess and audit it? How do I become, perfect in my creative delivery or my testing and understanding and making sure that everything that I'm doing from keyword research and implementation all the way through to fulfillment and my, you know, review flows and ways in which I can actually generate the best possible outcome for the growth of my brand and its related products, that is where you always need to start. And I would say to anyone, if you're a consultant or if you are a brand owner, you have to get those fundamentals right, because you can't start selling your services, or I would rather say you probably shouldn't start selling your services until they are so dialed in and you have such a high degree of confidence that whether it's you delivering it or whether you're looking at the reports and the insights that exist, you can give material feedback and make the required changes. So I'd say that would be the starting point for me from both lenses. And to answer your question about how do you then transition from being the sole consultant, practitioner, delivering either internally value or to your clients, to actually scaling this into, you know, a business where you are not the only person attached to it and you're looking to bring on additional clients, or you're looking to, you know, grow to a point where you just can't get your hands around every single function of the business. I think the most important thing in that lies in two directions. One, if you're the agency owner, service delivery needs to be, you know, perfect or as close to perfect as you possibly can. So the first thing I would look to do is define all those processes and understand really, really clearly what's happening in my business. What are the things that I'm doing right? And then what are those key moments in time that I need to review that my PPC campaigns, that I need to understand what my BSR looks like, that I need to really review and provide, whether it's automated or manual reporting, and I'm actually assessing this and making material changes. What does that all look like? Because only once I have the full picture can I start to actually make material changes into removing myself from delivering on every aspect. And I would say it's a foolish mistake, and one that I made plenty of times in my career. And honestly, even with the knowledge and skills that I have at the pace that, you know, we're all running every day, I'm not impervious to making the same mistakes. And you can't just expect to bring someone in and say, handle it. That's how it's going to run. And off you go. So being really clear on those expectations, understanding your processes, and then effectively being able to hand off parts of it is a pertinent part of scaling, whether it's an agency or an internal brand. I think that's one of the first steps that you need to get right.
Love it. Love the feedback. And especially like the part when you were talking about handle it, I do myself also find myself on, yeah, just handle it. I just hired you to handle it. And you know, like right now in this quarter, I just realized a lot how much it was like, okay, I hired you. You're supposed to know what needs to be done because I hired you for your expertise, you know, when in fact it's you're ending up with, and doesn't really matter. Even if it's an agency, even if it's a brand, most of the time when you're going to outsource something, whoever you're hiring, they have no clue of what your expectations are, what your KPIs are, which are the things that you are looking at them to excel at, and which are the things that you say, hey, you are great at that, but you should not be focusing on that, right? So I think the next step is going to be very much like realizing, okay, creating systems, processes, and so on. So having the full picture as this is the whole, and then solving puzzles, and then prioritizing which is the most important puzzle that I have to focus right now that is super urgent, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10. All right, which one is really 10 and we have to address it right now? Because otherwise, like, again, coming from the background of working on both and having both of them, I can really see that most of the time when it comes to SOPs as well, and you guys are just brilliant, and also Lip is brilliant in like how he's like talking about, okay, this is the way how to create SOPs and the processes and so on. Most people just get lost simply because, okay, so I'm supposed to create a recipe for whatever I'm doing, instead of this is the whole and this is the most important recipe that you should be focusing on. So there's also a question coming based on that, right? Based on this, what do you think that most people are really missing out on? They figured out, okay, this is their scope of work. This is why they are doing it. This is how they are going to do. But the next is like when it comes to implementation, I think.
Yeah. So I would say one of the challenges that a lot of people face, and this is natural, like if you're an agency taking on a ton of clients because you're really good at winning business and you are really good at your service delivery because you know what you're doing and you've built your own brand or you're just experienced in doing it, you can get stuck in the trap of trying to bite off more than you can chew before you really clearly define and articulate not just the processes, but like what you just shared. Having the goals and KPIs and the expectations. And I would say the same goes with setting those expectations with your clients, right? There's the quickest way to lose a client is to have a whole lot of everything that you're delivering live in this gray area where you're not giving them, like some of the things for any agency owners living or listening and living out there, listening in. I would say like the things that we did really well at the agencies that I worked at and things that I'm really pedantic about when it comes to Multiply Me and Escala is setting up clear timelines when you can expect what to expect throughout the course of our relationship. And I would say what's more is, when I was in agency land, every single Friday, what I would do or have to do when I was in a strategy seat, supporting, Sony and MasterCard, I would have to send a status update. I'd have to share with my clients what did we work on and achieve this week? How are we tracking towards our defined goals? What are we going to work on next week? And what are some of the key teething items or elements that I need feedback on so that we can continue to move forward? And what the agency owner used to make us do is actually CC in the head of strategy who sat above me and her as well, the owner of the agency. And so they would have visibility on every aspect of what was done, what's happening in a snapshot for every single client. They could chime in if there are any like issues of escalation. It would all happen on that one email. So I also always knew like if I'm not delivering, I'm going to get found out on a Friday afternoon. And that's the worst time to get found out that you're not delivering on work, right? No one wants to work late into the weekend. So coming back to it, setting in those controls, and I would say if it's an internal team as well, like coming back to my experience of the agency, we'd also jump on a call every single Monday. We'd have a 30-minute touch base. We'd have sort of that starting point and end point of the week to really sort of wrap it all together and make sure that we're having this continuous flow. And it doesn't take a tremendous amount of time. That's an hour a week in however you're billing your clients, but they feel heard, they feel listened to, and you know that you're actually driving toward outcome. And I'd say if you're internal and this isn't about service delivery from that lens, then having a status report that's delivered by your team members on what they're working on is really important to have that visibility, or at least for you, tracking and setting up what am I going to set up for the week? What am I going to work on for the week? Set up those clear goals and accountabilities. And then at the end of the week, review, did I hit those metrics and what am I going to work on next week? Also lets you go into the weekend feeling a lot more calm and collect and ready to sort of put all your thoughts into one place and effectively come and crush it when you get into the office on a Monday.
I love it. So I think everything, like in one word, I would summarize it with accountability, being accountable to the other partner, whether if it's your own brand, whether if you're an agency owner. So I love that part. So figuring out the next steps, you're starting to hire people, like you're expert in this, you are like offering a service provider as well when it comes to that. What are the most common mistakes that people usually make whenever they're going to the next stage? From consultancy, or I am the brand owner, to okay, the next hire, besides sharing clear goals, besides letting them know this is my expectation from you.
Yeah, so I'd say the common mistakes that people will make, and I would be one of those people historically, and again, no one's perfect, but you can look just to hire someone because you like their fit, their vibe, the feel, the relationship. And one of the traps that I find a lot of people get themselves into is just hiring more people like yourself. You bring typically a unique value proposition to the business. And this isn't to say go and look for someone who's your polar opposite. There definitely has to be a degree of chemistry, but it's less about finding someone to bring into the business, and it's about defining what does the business need to grow and what is the next most important thing to enable that to happen, and then working backwards from this is my goal and objective, this is where I want to be 6 months from now. And I'm just going to give a tangible example here because that's how my mind works. But if I'm growing an agency and my first entry point is PPC, it's the one that I would say is the most natural place to start when you are starting an agency because you're buying media. It's very clear what the ROI is. It's very trackable. It's the easiest way really to grow because if I invested $5 and I return $20, then straight away you have that proof of the ROI of what it's like to work with that agency. And most agency owners or people building agencies, they'll gravitate toward PPC for that exact reason. It's a far easier value proposition to sell and also to prove your value. If you go down the other route and you try building a creative agency from scratch, it's a much harder proposition. A lot of it comes down to, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Everyone has differences of opinions when it comes to creative, and it's just ultimately a harder process to work on. So coming back to it and saying, right, my goal is to grow my PPC function out first. I have a degree of confidence. I love the methodology. I love the way I'm buying media. Then what I'm looking to do is I'm looking to say, right, I'm really comfortable in a client-facing position. I can speak articulately to the clients and the prospects. I love the relationships and managing the accounts. And I have my strategy. I've worked on it really hard and it's very, very clear. What I'd likely look to do is say, right, I want to grow to 15, 20 client accounts that I'm working with. I want to be, I want to be achieving that, right? Let's use that as the metric and not go too deep into this. So I'm going to work backwards and say, right, in order for me to actually achieve those 20 clients, and if I'm the biggest driver, because I'm not yet spending money on marketing initiatives and I'm not quite putting a booth up at Prospar and I'm not buying media and doing cold outbound traffic and have an SEO strategy and all the things that go into your marketing mix long term, then I need to maximize my time in front of clients and growing those relationships, getting referrals, building new relationships. So I'd look to bring someone in that can handle a lot of the critical work, but what does that reporting look like so that I can come in whether it's every morning and look at the performance and give feedback? How can I actually train the person that I bring in who has experience in some degree of media buying? How can I train them and leverage the processes that I've thought through and built to a degree of perfection? How can I make sure that they're delivering on it? They're giving me all the insights so that I can continue to add the value inside of that function without now taking up all of my time in terms of the actual being hands-on and handling the service delivery. So, I'm just trying to give a one example of how you would look to really create focus on who you bring in and how you would bring them into the business and how you can stop being that sole contractor and provider. And it will differ from person to person. I'll give you the opposite example might be that you're really good at crunching the numbers and you have a real deep love and passion for PPC and finding those keyword gems and understanding how to actually bring that all together. And you're less personable, if you will, or rather you're not energized by getting on a Zoom call like this and having a conversation. And so you look for that person to come in and complement where you are weak and they are strong. And that's really how I would approach it.
Absolutely love it. And I love how nicely you're putting your words for me. It's like they have zero social skills and like zero social skills. That is how I would have put it. So your words are tremendously helpful. I love your feedback. And I think the next phase that either you as a brand, either you as an agency owner is going to face is there are two opposites: hiring someone who's training and you're training them within your system, hiring someone who's expert. And most of the time, what I see, you would hire someone who you're training and they're going to mimic whatever you're doing. So you're going to take a load off of whatever you're doing so you can become way more creative or become more strategic about the next action. So it's not you who's doing the work, but someone else is going to do the work. So that is one case. Next case is you are bringing in someone who's an expert. Let's say if you're a brand owner, you might bring in an agency to help you with XYZ, let's say PPC, because that's what you were also mentioning. Sometimes I feel that there is like a there are not no clear expectations from one or from the other, because you might be trying to train someone and you realize, oh, this is so much time to actually like put so much time and effort in this person rather than having someone who's an expert. But when it comes down to experts, we were also just chatting a few minutes back before recording, is like, how do I vet if that is the right expert for whatever I am doing? So I think that is the next dilemma that on this stage someone would face. How do you address that?
So, if I'm understanding correctly the question, what I'm hearing is when you're bringing in a potential agency or you're bringing someone else with expertise that you might not currently possess, how do you vet them, or how do you integrate them in a meaningful way where expectations are met and aligned? Is that a fair assessment of the question?
I'm sorry for confusing you. Yeah, so that is, I think, the next stage. Whatever both agency owners and like brand builders are facing is that once that they want to multiply themselves, they might bring either someone who they have to train, either someone who's an expert. But the problem with whenever you have to train someone, you are not a trainer, so you have no clue how to train it. But whenever it's someone who's an expert, you expect from them that they know their stuff. And then you get disappointed just because you didn't ask all the right questions. So, did that clarify
That
the
makes
way?
sense. That makes
Okay,
sense.
got it.
So how I would approach that, there's a few ways that I would approach this. One is it all comes down to clearly defined expectations. That's the first thing. And so even if I don't have the said skill sets of, let's give the example, I'm a PPC agency owner, I'm really good at PPC. I have no experience really with creative, but that makes the most sense for me to add in as services, because if I can also handle the ad creative and not just the text and the language and the keywords and the research, if I can actually bring those together, I'm now much more of a one-stop shop PPC agency that can really add value, and then I can expand into image creation for listings, and I can continue to expand on EBC, A++ content, and everything in between, and that becomes really expensive. But I don't have that experience. What I would look to do is what I would look to do is firstly define the mission of what that role looks like, define the outcomes. So what does success actually look like in this role or as the agency? So that's really defining to a high degree of granularity, what does that look like? And then also defining the attributes. So, what experience does this person need to have and actually show me, or the agency actually show me, in order for me to say, right, that actually makes sense and they can achieve all of those things? And I would say, if you're really green and you have no, and you don't really like, you're a pure numbers person, you have no creative eye whatsoever, it's totally out of your wheelhouse, but it's really important and you want to add that in, then I would look to leverage, and this is how I do it, honestly. I have a product team of 15 internally. I'm a non-tech founder, as inside of one of our functions and what we're building. I'm not, I cannot write and read code. That's not me. I can talk about the different coding languages and I know little bits here and there, but I cannot actually, I'd be useless there. So what I'll typically do is I will interview and ask experts in the space. I'll go to friends of mine or people that I know, or ask in my network, hey, can you please tell me, if you would interview for a role like this, or if you were looking to fill this role, like what are the key things that you'd be looking for? And I'll leverage expert knowledge from other people to really get there. And I'd say, if you're really smart about it, you actually get them to do the interviewing for you. You spend the time working with them. You don't want to create too much work for them. So what I would do is I'd actually build the mission, outcomes, attributes, or the four R's, or however I'm building the job description. And I would sit with them and say, hey, does this look right? Would you change anything? And then potentially have them do the interview for me so that I've got an expert who knows their stuff about the specific space that they're going into, someone that I trust to actually vet them. And all of a sudden, it's a step change. You're asking a favor, maybe you send them a bottle of whiskey, something to that effect, but ultimately you're getting the right person to be able to make the right decision for your business.
Got it. Would you mind expanding just a bit about the attributes and the four R's you were saying, if you?
Yeah. So there's a few different ways to build an interview scorecard. So when you're looking to bring someone on into any role in your business, a lot of people will just jump online and look for a job description. And they can be written in many different ways. I should probably call out that we actually just released last week 200 plus free job descriptions that you can download in editable form in Google Docs, and they're written by our recruitment team, and the structures in how we approach it, so at least you know they're professional.
Easy.
But the problem with that, though, is that if you don't have a deep enough understanding of the problems that you're trying to solve for, then it's just going to be a job description for you, and it's not necessarily addressing exactly what your solve is. So there's a few different ways in which you can approach this. There's the four R's: role, responsibility, requirements, and results. And that's how you can build a job description in one way. That's sort of a framework. The other is the scorecard method, where you define a mission. So what does success look like in a role? That might be a sentence or two. 3 to 8 attributes, sorry, 3 to 8 outcomes. So in order for them to succeed in this mission, these are the 3 to 8 things they need to do in terms of driving outcomes. So if I'm talking about the PPC manager, for example, maintain 20% ACoS. Ensure that my ROAS, another way to look at it, are 2.5 and above. Make sure that all the relevant keywords have been identified, and I am hitting not just the main keywords, but all the sub keywords. Looking to grow investment, or rather spend in this case, by 20% while maintaining this. Is so you're defining all those outcomes, and then you're talking about the attributes. What does this person need to have done historically to actually fit the archetype of being able to achieve the outcomes to succeed in the mission? So that might be working for multiple years in some form of paid media, having done comprehensive reports and giving deep insights and capabilities, having very clear attention to detail and understanding, because it's a very heavy analytical and something that is about understanding the very, minor nuances. So you'd build that, and you'd work toward that outcome before you would essentially bring someone in. And a lot of people, coming back to one of my earlier points, will have a conversation, I really like you, I would love to work with you, obviously, but I need to ne make sure what role do I have that actually is going to serve the business, not just because I really like you and I think that you're brilliant. And I think a lot of people can get stuck into that trap of trying to bring on people and trying to reverse engineer a person into the company and not the other way. And while that can work, and there are, I wouldn't say fringe cases, but there are realities where you meet someone who's so brilliant, you can make it work depending on the stage of your business, but it's not the way I would advise anyone to look to build out their business.
Love it. Absolutely, like golden nuggets. He's just dropping golden nuggets. Okay. So if this is the nonsense for you, then like I'm not sure what is the real thing that if you're like sharing real information. I think this is super, super important. Like whatever you shared, it's most of the time what I see also whenever I'm talking to sellers, either as a brand owner, either as an agency owner, I see that they have no clue how to deal with this stuff. This is like really like you need to have specific skills, and you have to need to also like recognize for yourself, hey, I'm not the expert on XYZ, I should not be doing it. So this is why we have you on, right? Who's the expert in XYZ? So this is why you're doing it. Let's touch base just a bit also in we were talking about how to really vet services, because I think that this fits also here. And how would you also vet employees? Because that's also like when you're hiring out something, either to a service, either to an employee, you still have a lot of things that you're not thinking about asking.
Yeah. So if I'm looking to vet an agency and a service provider in general, I'm looking at at a lot of different angles. I'm trying to really get as deep into my understanding of how they operate internally to give me a clear insight and reflection on what is it going to be like working with these people. Because at the end of the day, this is a partner, whether it's hiring someone internally or working with an agency, you're trusting someone with your brand and your business, and ultimately you want it to succeed. And you always want, for me, I always want things to be win-win. I want it to be, if I'm going to engage with a service provider, and if I'm going to come to Scalewave, and you guys are going to work with a brand that I'm invested in, then I want that to be a long-term relationship. Because you've also got to remember, from the standpoint of the seller, it's a lot of work to have to move and shift and go through that process again and find alternatives. Everyone wants it, everyone's going in with good faith. So the first things that I'm doing is firstly understanding, one, does their model align with something that is sustainable? Is it something that I can grow with and they can grow with? And I'll give you like an example. If I came in and I'm launching a product for the first time, and how the agency looks at it is it says, you know what, it's $10,000 a month. That's what we charge as a retainer, and I won't talk about anything else. And I'm launching my first product. At that point, for most people, they're not that heavily capitalized that they could spend $120,000 on an agency and buy media on top of it and do all of these things as at launch. So understanding, well, what does it look like? Are they actually looking at it from the lens and saying, is this something that I can manage today? If they, as the seller, succeed, and I, the agency, and are the ones that are really driving that growth, how do I make sure that I commit to this win-win scenario where we're all happy and we're all making money? And I think it happens a lot where agency owners can become quite rigid in saying, this is our model and this is how they operate. And I totally respect the fact that it has to make commercial sense for them. And so saying no at the start to companies that don't fit your ICP or aren't at the level, or I think that's a really important thing. So coming back to that vetting, I'm going to ask them all the questions as to what does it look like on a daily basis? What are our regular touch points? How are you going to be communicating performance to me? What are the things that you need from me at the start? How am I going to, if things aren't going well, what are you going to do to change it? How are you going to notify me? How can I add the most amount of value? I'm going to go through sort of this deep dive experience where I'm really trying to understand, what will my day-to-day look like with them? What does a good week look like? What does a bad week look like? So that there's absolutely no surprises. And I'd say for most agencies just starting out, they don't have clear reporting mechanics and structures in place. And it's usually like, pay me $1,000 a month, I'll manage all of your stuff, and we'll flow with it and we'll see how things go. And I think at the start that can work really well. The seller is saying, oh, this is like a really reasonable price and we're getting some wins on the board. But all of a sudden, if there's an off week or an off month or an off couple of months, then it starts to create a degree of tension. And that, I believe, is something that can be really easily avoided for both the agency and the brand if you just set those very clear guidelines and expectations. So, that's one area in terms of the working relationship that I would look at. And I'd also look at things like, what is their track record? What kind of brands are they working with? What category, are they category agnostic? Are they hitting specific verticals? I would say the more niche down a business is, and if my business aligns with that business, then you're in a really good place. There is a guy, for any agency owners, actually, this is a great shout out for a guy by the name of Jordan Ross out of LA. He's got a company called Eight Figure Agency, and his whole business is focused on coaching agency owners, giving them all of their processes on how to attract new clients, how to build better internal processes, how to do a whole lot of things that are so niche specific. You have to be an agency owner and you have to be looking to grow. And I love the guy. I think he's brilliant. And I think the business he's built is brilliant. But what I'm trying to really point out here is that he is so niche specific. You have to be an agency owner. You have to be growing. You have to want these specific skill sets. And I'd say the same goes for if you turned around and you said ScaleWave only focuses on baby brands or pet food brands. That's all we do. We are the agency for pet food, and you are managing 20 different pet food accounts, for example, or pet brand accounts or whatever. Maybe that's a bit too niche when we talk about product, because you might have people that are like,
it's not, there are a lot of products. We also are selling pet supplies, so we know it's a lot. It's a lot. So it's
for sure,
more competitive.
But from a client perspective, there might be like,
oh, got it.
You're bidding against the same keywords, and maybe that becomes too niche. You know, like when I used to work in some of these bigger agencies, you'd have like Mitsubishi and Mercedes in the same agency, but on different floors in the building where the teams wouldn't talk because, you know, you didn't want to create that degree of visibility and competition between competitors. So the point I'm making here is that finding a niche that you can sit behind where you're not going to have these like, it's not non-competes. It's like you can't take on another one of the same client, but finding the right niche, I think, is definitely going to serve both the agency owner and attract more of the right potential brand owner as well.
Love it. Yeah, I love it. And I'm sorry, I've just realized that I made your job very, very hard. Like my mind is really like, I am right now visualizing and then putting it to this column, the right column, the left column, whatever you said for the agency, the right column, whatever you said for the brand. So I just realized that this might be like, actually, you did an amazing job because I asked like so many questions that actually are all one thing. But how would you address the same thing whenever you would hire someone for your team that is not an agency? If it makes sense. So the same question of how, what are the best practices that you would look up? Is this really the right person? Because I think that also what you were saying about the agency, okay, what was your workflow? How did you work previously? If you're saying that you're good at time management, show me like, what are the things that you did? Because most of the time we assume that the person knows when they don't. And maybe time management is one of the most important things, is that even in agencies and also like you as a brand, if you don't know that the person is capable to do 100 tasks at once and that is what the job requires, you know, so it's going to be hard. So is it possible also on the, when it comes to brands, how would you structure or what are the things that you would vet for to see if that's the right person for you?
Yeah, so it would be much of the same thing, just conducted differently. So when you're going through that interview process, you're asking the questions, making sure that they actually have demonstrable background in delivering on those specifics, right? But I would say like what also becomes important in both, whether you're vetting an agency or a person, is having a clear reference interview with people. Like I would look to ask previous employers, who have you worked with and can I have their number? Can I have a conversation with them? And there's also specific questions that I would ask as well in a scenario like that, asking them, you know, how would your previous employer rate you from a 1 to 10 in terms of your time management skills? And something really interesting happens when you reframe the conversation to talk about how would someone else who was previously managing you look at that, or how would your clients perceive you from a scale of 1 to 10 in on-time delivery? And that really gives you a clear indication, because it's one thing when you're sort of talking and speaking about yourself and you're trying to sell yourself, all of a sudden it reframes your mindset and you're like, shit, maybe they'll actually speak to this person. And all of a sudden it creates like a degree of, I would say, honesty that has to come through it. So going through the interview, the reference interview becomes really important. I would say also doing things like actually having material tests, right? So I would, if we're talking about, you know, bring on a PPC manager, I would set a whole range of parameters either around how I operate in my methodology or if they have experience, because part of the attributes that they had to have is that I had 2 or 3 years worth of PPC management experience, getting them to look at an account that, you know, maybe isn't necessarily live, but you're putting in specific insights or specific outcomes that you want to see. Are they picking up on these outliers or these fringe cases or opportunities where we should be investing more or pulling back on spend, or look at one of the historic reports and see the insights that you've derived from it, and see what that comparison looks like. And really what you're trying to do is create a live, as close to a live scenario as possible, so that you understand how that would approach it. I'd say as well, with the, as a freebie, this isn't as good for agency owners, but I would recommend anyone looking to work with an agency to do this is to actually get them all to do a free audit and give you some insights as to what you would do or change if you were to work together. And, for the business owner, they can either take those ideas and implement them themselves, but hopefully what they've shared is so valuable that they'd rather just pay someone else to manage that process. And I think, again, it's totally applicable for hiring someone in and bringing them into the team. It goes, slight differentiation in how it's approached, but ultimately it's for the same outcome.
100%. We call them tests. So it's
Yep.
like before having you on, okay, with what is the way? And by the way, I do advocate still also for agencies, and I love giving audits because most of the time, what I feel is, what I see is, you have the impression that you're giving exactly the right thing to the next potential customer, and they are bringing extra questions, which is like, oh, so I can get better, even like I can get better. So it's not free. What you're getting, it's actually a
Yep.
lot of
Yep.
feedback for how to improve, how to do things faster, how to like, okay, the process is 5 hours, how to make it into 10 minutes or 20 minutes, but like, so all those stuff. So I always take it as like, you're never giving something for free, but what you're getting back is like way more tremendous. To be super respectful of your time, this was an amazing episode, and thank you so much once again for being available for me to like really do it on this both end. I just realized that maybe I made a bit hard the episode for you because we had to really focus on two different stuff, also as brand, also as agency, and you excelled. So thank you so much for that. Before I do let you go though, you know that I have these obvious questions. First off, can you share a game-changing investment you recently made? Maybe that's $50 or less that help you become a better business owner.
Ooh, that is a great question. Haven't improved that much lately. What can I say? No, I would say, I'm trying to think of the last book that I read that is in that $50 bracket and did good for me, and that is The Founder's Dilemma. Really good book that helps you think through a lot of the changing landscapes as your business is growing and shifting and changing, everything from picking the right business partners and having the right agreements in place all the way through to just the added complexities. So I would say in recent times, that was probably a really good investment that I've made that was very inexpensive.
Love it. Talking about books, the next question is like, what are your favorite books and why do you love them? Your top
Favorite
three,
books?
maybe.
Yeah.
Top three,
I would
so it's
say
easier.
Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen R. Covey. Really, really strong. And I was talking about it literally today. There are concepts, that book was written many, many years ago, and there are concepts that will just forever ring true. It's timeless. Highly recommend it. So that would be up there. Multipliers by Liz Wiseman. If you want to be if you want to be a better leader, the idea is how the best leaders make those around them smarter. And that's really the concept of the book. And I would say another great book is, the classic that a lot of people will recommend and suggest is Good to Great by Jim Collins.
A lot of analytical people would recommend that. Usually the best, the most recommended is the Rich Dad Poor Dad and Dale Carnegie. So you are definitely a tactical man. So this is why you're recommending it. Love it. Yanni, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It was, as always, a pleasure. So for those interested in your services, because you do offer a lot of services, high quality services, always offering and offers like giving also free stuff. You were talking about the templates. How can people reach out first out to you, and how can they maybe find out more about what you're offering?
So they can check out any of the websites that we have, MultiplyMe, MIIMe.com, for our Filipino recruitment agency. WeAreEscala.com for our consultancy, and SouthColl.co if you're looking for investment and growth capital to grow and exit your business.
Amazing. Thank you so much again for being on the podcast. And to you, our lovely listener, thank you so much for sticking with us. This was just absolutely pure gold. Don't listen to it only once, but twice, three times. Always once you're going to listen to it, it's going to be a different takeaway. So I will highly encourage you to listen to it multiple times. Yoni, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.